B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:02 and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. All right, we got cases of beer we're going to give away as well. The Friday Five, it's you got to answer it, and the best answers could warrant a case of beer. We'll put you in the running for it. But here's the questions if you want to prepare and you didn't hear it. How has this whole isolation period affected you? How has this pandemic affected you personally? Number two, who are the Eagles right now? Are they a Super Bowl contender? Going into the draft, you know kind of what they need. You see after free agency, are they a Super Bowl contender? A, or are they a playoff contender with possible Super Bowl aspirations depending on what they do the rest of the way? Or C, they're going to compete for the division, but that's about it. And you chose C for that.
Yes.
Number three, give us your favorite movie line coming up next week on the show. Cousin Joey did a Feel the 64 in honor of Mikey Miss. He did a Feel the 64 of the great movie lines. So we're going to dive into that next week. Question number four, simply the best thing you watched that you could tell people about. Like you watched, what'd you watch?
Tiger King.
Oh, yeah, I'm out of that.
Which I got to read a tweet for you. Because okay. This is from Andrew Leach, who starts with a shot to me, and rightfully so. He goes, "Yo, cuz, if Andrew gave his elevator pitch for Tiger King, the series would have never been made. But I decided to watch one episode last night, eventually went to bed at 4 a.m. because I couldn't stop watching. The show is a murder mystery at heart."
Wow.
So he gives a better pitch than me. I'm not a movie TV man, so I'm not really good at talking.
That is a good pitch.
And I'll give you some more information during the break.
That's actually a key pitch. That is.
Yes, it was.
That's a nice job
by you. You should check it out.
All right. We'll do. Question number five is it's the old whack-a-mole game on the boardwalk. And it's the Joel Friedman game. He's the despicable character that owns Hahnemann Hospital that tried to fleece the city of Philadelphia while city leaders tried to reopen it to get 500 more beds, but tried to fleece the city. So in honor of that scoundrel, we decided to do the whack-a-mole question. You get a mallet and the three heads pop up and you get to clunk them on the head. Give me your three whack-a-moles.
And I went Gabe, I went the woman who was coughing on food on purpose, and then YouTube influencers who are licking toilet seats. Those are my three answers. Dopes.
They are dopes. They are dopes, he's right. Anyway, there's your five. Talk about... You're so right about those influencers. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's all of them. I'm an influencer. Let me show you. I'm not afraid of the virus. Let me lick the toilet seat. Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah. Like to flush your head right down the toilet.
Yes.
I'm going to stick your head in the toilet, and I'm going to keep it there, and I'm going to flush it. You know what that's from?
Yeah.
Speaking of movie lines?
Some mobster movie or show, I'm guessing. Was I right?
Close. Yeah, kind of. I guess you are right. It does have a mob element. Dennis Farina as the great mob boss of Chicago is in it. De Niro said the line.
I don't know. Goodfellas?
No. He said the line to Charles Grodin.
I don't know. Irishman?
No. Charles Grodin's a comedic actor. So it's like half of a comedic move.
Meet the Parents?
No. I'll give you another line.
De Niro, at this point, he's been in a billion movies.
Come on, man. No Get the movie.
No disrespect to Robert De Niro.
Get the movie.
I don't know.
Come on. He says, why don't you get the lobster? I'll get the steak. I'll have a little surf and turf action.
Dude,
there's a better class of people up here. They're all embezzlers like you.
I've heard that line before. I don't know what movie it is. I've probably seen it. I just, you know, maybe once.
All right.
Can you tell me the movie?
No, I'm not.
Well, then I'll Google the lyrics. The words.
I want you to actually get the movie. All right. Let me go to
The Internship. Or The Intern. Sellout movie he did.
No.
With disrespect.
Vince in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin.
Hey, good morning, man. I called the guy out in Chicago last night on The Score. I'm telling you, I dropped your name to him.
So I got to tell the audience. Vince is calling the Chicago sports radio station to talk about Foles. So Vince is our liaison to Chicago sports radio to talk about Foles as the Bears quarterback. And you called Les Grobstein.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And just for laughs, because I said, oh, by the way, I said, a guy wants to say hello to you, Anthony Gargano. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, I know him. He goes, tell him I said hello. You know, kind of a subdued reaction. I think I caught him off guard with that.
Well, I guess so. You know, I've probably seen the guy in 30 years.
But we had a pretty good conversation. But, no, I was definitely interested in the Friday Five there, man. I was thinking about all those questions here and stuff. And looking forward to that replay, by the way, that game. Because if you remember, we were a lot of the Flyer fans got together at the Wells Fargo Center to watch that game.
Yes, that's right. You're one of them?
Yeah. In fact, I ran into like a cousin of mine. But yeah, it was like a Flyers home game. It was like, I forget how many people were there, but there were quite a lot of people, you know.
That's cool, man.
So,
all right, let me give you the five because I want to hear you take it.
Okay.
Question number one, how is the virus and the pandemic personally affected you, Vince?
Oh, man, probably more than I expected, to be honest with you. I mean, I have a weekly visit from like a nurse who's like taking care of one of my medical issues, and she just left this morning. I felt bad for me because, you know, they're all like, you know, dressed up in masks and everything. And I made sure like, you know, like everything was like wiped down and everything. But I said, man, I said, I can't imagine, you know, I said, I'm so grateful that you people are going out, you know, helping us that are very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, so, cause I felt bad because like she's saying, she goes, yeah, you really gotta watch yourself out there. You know, she goes, you know, until everything kind of settles down. I mean, she was saying like, don't even go, you know, do everything online or whatever, you know, getting, you know, shopping online and everything. So, but yeah, no, so, and you know, the funny thing is, cause I was, I've been kind of like semi exiled for about 10 years anyway, you know, cause of various health issues, but like, and I thought I'd be ready for this, but in a way, like I said, oh man, I didn't realize how vulnerable I am.
No, it's true. Stay home, Vince. Stay home.
Yeah, and I'm used to helping people too. That's the worst part. You know, I'm used to like, be the one to help, you know, or whatever. So we'll see.
I got to do this quick because
go ahead. Yeah.
We got a break. We got Danny Briere too coming on
at
12:50. Give me, brother, real quick. Who are the Eagles right now? Contender, playoff, no shot.
Playoff.
All right. Give me your favorite movie line.
I got to go back to Rocky One. Rocky, you know, Gazzo tells, you know, Rocky after they were arguing, he was arguing with the judge, goes, look, some guys they hate for no reason. You know,
that's great Gazzo.
Yeah.
That's great, Gazzo. Best thing you watched since this week?
You know, it's funny. I'm paying attention. I'm streaming a lot of like Italian stuff from Italy. You know, it's like it's something I just really enjoy doing.
That's good.
You know,
And then question five: you get three people to whack with a mallet and the whack-a-mole. Who is?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a group here, but let's say it's every friggin' JO that's been hoarding stuff at the Super Bowl.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Also, again, idiots like Rudy Gobert who think it's like a joke, you know, that kind of thing. And again, well, like I said, all these I don't know, it was another group, like, I guess the idiots on the boardwalk, too. It's like, come on, you know, nobody wants to follow the rules anymore, you know?
I like it. I like it. Great stuff, and you're in the running for a case of beer. We're to come back. Sit tight, because we'll take more calls. But we got the playback coming today. And today's Flyers Day. Flyers Bruins game 7 of the in 2010. What an incredible moment. So we'll do Flyers Bruins next. Danny Briere will join us to talk about that game and the whole thing. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
Wow, we were just talking about sellouts. That's a good idea. All right.
Keep that for Monday. We'll need it.
We're coming live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. That's right. It's Cuz Radio Tunis. And we love this segment. I would say I speak for the both of us, right?
Yes, I've had such a joy doing this.
So we started this last week, and at the end of last week, once we all became isolated, and once the social distancing came in, and we were bound to our homes, we decided that, hey, listen. No sports. Let's relive all these games. Because you know what? We could do this for a while, and we could still have fun, and we could still relive these games. We spent a lifetime categorizing these kinds of games, right? Cataloging these games. A lifetime cataloging these games. So why not bring them back?
And you know what?
And relive them.
You know what's funny? You did it. I don't even know if you meant to do this. If you did, good on you. You said that you wanted to do a Phillies Friday last week. We did the Phillies on Friday. But the way you did it, you went Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers. And that's the order that we're going to be doing every single day. So on Monday, we'll return with an Eagles game, right?
Right.
It ended up working out so perfectly because opening day was the Phillies day.
Yeah, actually, I did plan that.
That's good work by you.
I actually saw that it was opening day. And I wanted to talk Phillies because of that. But that's it. Everything else is what it is.
Oh, and we have a treat.
Really?
Coming up at 1:00.
Yeah?
Yes. So we're going 12:50 Danny Briere. 1:00.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
We got the coach.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
This Justin. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. Peter Laviolette will join us. Oh, that is unbelievable. Fantastic. All right. Well, you don't want to miss this. It's let's do the playback now. Flyers at Bruins, Game 7, Eastern Conference semifinals. It was the great run. It all began on a Sunday when the Flyers beat the Rangers in a shootout to make the playoffs. And then they went on this epic run. But the epic run was really buoyed by an epic series. Flyers at Boston. The Bruins held a 3-0 lead. 3-0. Flyers win game 4. They go to Boston. They win game 5. They come back home. They win game six. And now, game seven, May the 14th, 2010. Who's on the call?
I don't know their names. I put them on your little sheet there.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. I didn't realize these guys.
Yeah, it wasn't
Joe Beninati. That was my man, Joe Ben McNaughty.
Yes.
And Billy Jaffe on the call. Here we go. Game seven at the TD Garden in Boston.
For the Bruins and Flyers, game seven is sure to be a nerve-wracking experience. Stanley Cup playoffs on versus continuing from inside of TD Garden in Boston. The Bruins and the Flyers deadlocked at three games apiece in this seesaw series. Mike Richards, the Flyer captain, has been dazzling. He has accepted all the difficult responsibilities. The premier matchup with Zdeno Chara, and Chara figures to be out there with him tonight, step for step.
Wow!
It was loud in that building.
It gave me excited. It was loud. All right, let's go in. About 5.5 minutes into the first period, right? The Bruins taking it to the Flyers. We talked about this. They got to survive Hurley. Got to survive. Michael Layton trying to keep the Flyers, keep the Bruins at bay. Oh, but Scotty Hartnell gets in the box. There could be some trouble. Take a listen.
Lucic feeds one-timer. Kicked away. Layton got just a whisker on that. As Savard did not wait long to pull the trigger. Hunwick fires. An easy stop for Layton.
Well, by Pronger, I'm saying he's had his stick on Lucic twice. I think he got away with it. At least one call there.
Yeah, that was going to be a high stick there, Joe. Referee Kelly Sutherland over to check Matt Hunwick. Hartnell will get the minor.
Philadelphia Pelly, number 19, 2 minutes for eye sticking.
Carelessness with his stick. He just gets it up high, trying to play the puck up near the face of Matt Hunwick. Hartnell knows better, went right over the penalty box. Just a minor, no blood drawn.
Listen to that crowd! Are you kidding me? Oh, 8 seconds into the power play, however, Michael Layton didn't stand a chance.
First power play opportunity for either side. This is the last game of round two. Blocked from Chara. Pass St. Layton. Score! Ryder on the rebound. It all starts with a Boston Bruin faceoff win. They have won 55% of the faceoffs coming into game seven in this series. It gets over to Chara, and it finishes on the stick of Ryder.
Oh, man. All right, midway through the first period, the Flyers had a chance to tie it. Right? They're right there. Take a listen, though, what happens.
Matt Carr to the rescue for the Flyers. On for Danny Briere. And then Carr continues the thrust. His pass deflected wide of Tuukka Rask. Weidman double-teamed along the boards.
Oh, he might have gotten it. Oh, he did it. He's going to get called for that penalty.
Referee Stephen Walton right there to make the assessment.
He's going to try and bank it off Rask. But then the penalty's going to come up right there. Follow through to the head. Briere gets the stick up. Second penalty in the game. Second against Philly. Second for a high stick.
Yeah, it's a shame because it looked like they had a good shot. Danny had the shot trying to bank it off of Tuukka. But gets called with the high stick. Bruins back on the power play.
Lucic finds some breathing room. Halfway through the power play, Giroux on the flyby made the poke check. Chetan rewinding. Weidman jumps up. And as Weidman working through the check of Matt Carl, beats a goal ball.
Breakout and get
entrance. Wow. Are you kidding me?
The crowd is outrageous.
And you know what? I got to give it up to the announcers. I have no idea who these guys are.
They're fantastic.
They're pretty good.
No, they're fantastic. You're right. Anyway, Milan Lucic. I hate the Cheech. Hate the Cheech. All right. 2-0 Boston. We're still in the first period. Flyers putting no pressure on Tuca. Oh, and the Bruins attack again.
Boston fans absolutely incensed with the way their team has jumped out of the gate in the first 13-plus minutes.
No, they're crashing the net. They're getting bodies in front of Michael Layton. They have made life miserable for him in this one so far.
Just his second ever Stanley Cup playoff start. Flyers work the cycle game now. Powell on the overlap with Timonen. Short-circuited by Lucic. 3-on-2 the other way. Lucic waits. Fires and scores! Milan Lucic again!
The big man is playing a big game tonight.
Oh, it's the first period, mind you. First period, 3-0, Bruins. Oh, and all he kept thinking about, it was a Friday night, Tunis. And all I kept thinking about is, oh, my God, they came all the way back, and they're going to get pounded. But that's where Lavi comes into play. Take a listen to one of the most iconic timeouts in all of Philadelphia sports.
The Boston Bruins have come out and absolutely shattered the Flyers here early on. The Flyers are taking a timeout here, despite the fact, Joe, that the next whistle would be a TV timeout. It is dire straits time for Peter Laviolette right now. He knows he needs to keep this team in the game right now.
Wow, what a start. He had a conversation with you and Bob earlier in the day, Peter Laviolette did, and he said whichever team plays their game, whichever club is willing to take some chances and executes better, is going to prevail. And right now, Milan Lucic and the Boston Bruins are that team. It is 3-0 Boston.
Wow. Wow.
Start
wow,
playing with
wow.
some jam in here. Let's go.
How about it?
What's the problem now? I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Oh, my God. Is that the greatest speech ever, Tunis? Herb Brooks got nothing on Lavi, man.
Yeah, you're right.
My God. That is unbelievable. All right, the TD Garden is rocking. And the Flyers, is the magic gone? What would happen? So much time. But they had to score. Next goal, 4, insurmountable. They get 1, you never know. Listen.
Giroux lurking in front. The pass never arrived on his blade.
That was Dennis Weidman who just put the stick out at the last second.
Look out, Richards coming up high. Van Riemsdyk curl and drag. Score! James Van Riemsdyk gets one back.
And at the Wachovia Center, they finally have reason to cheer. This is an enormous goal that Richards and Van Riemsdyk connect for. He's going to get the puck back, toe drag, and it goes off of the sliding D-man. In fact, I think it breaks the stick of Sturt. Right there it does. And this one has got some spin on it.
Which is awesome. So they're showing the crowd the Wachovia Center.
Yes.
And they have the audio of the crowd going nuts, which is cool.
Yes, it was. It was ridiculous, man. It really was. So 3-1, end of one. And you feel good because you got one before the period. So, you know, 3-1 doable. And it becomes even more doable early in the second period.
The cheers of Let's Go Bruins have been raining down from the very outset of this game 7. Pronger with his head up looking to create. Parent dishes this one for Briere to the front for Leno. A spinning backhander stop. Rebound score!
Hartnell helps break through in the neutral zone as the fans continue to celebrate at Wachovia Center, seeing their team come back, and a few daring to wear the orange and black here at TD Garden do the same.
Wow. Wow. Scotty Hartnell makes it 3-2. And you heard the fans at the Wachovia Center freaking out. And all of a sudden, the Flyers got momentum, just like in the series. 5 minutes later, Mark Savard of the Bruins heads to the box. Listen what happens. Flyers, a little tough on the kill on the power play. However, we were getting fireworks. Listen up.
Philadelphia with 11 of the last 12 shots on goal. Since Boston took the 3-0 advantage, the Flyers have more than rallied in those cases. Haye working wide. Savard shanked that one timer. Gobbled up by Van Riemsdyk, who started the comeback for the Flyers in this Game 7. Briere knifing in. Briere tries to stop it. Score! Danny Briere and the Flyers have tied it at 3.
Are you kidding me? Danny ties it at 3.
I like this guy. Knifes it in. This guy's great.
He's fantastic. Joe Ben. It's Joe Ben.
He's Joe Ben. That's what you've been talking about this whole time.
All right. It's tied at 3. Flyers all kinds of momentum. And they get the power play again. All right. Now all of a sudden, oh my God, what's happening? The Flyers looking to capitalize with the man advantage. Listen up.
Boychuk will be set free in 2 seconds. Van Riemsdyk opening up. Accelerates in. Fires. It's pushed aside. Rask gets at his shoulders. Inside the paint. Flyers say it's in. No sign from the officials. No sign from the officials as you see it from the net cam. And Kelly Sutherland says, I've got nothing right there.
Nothing to look at right there. Excellent pickup on the audio. No goal is the signal on the ice. Will they ask to go upstairs? Most likely. Here's the announcement.
Upon video review, the puck does not completely cross the line. The call on the ice stands. No goal.
Oh. You want to talk about, you remember feeling like, oh, no. That was a goal, and I got no goal in that. I got no puck in that. Oh, no. No, please. Because if he called a good goal, chances are it stays a good goal, Tunis.
Yeah, because they might not have got enough evidence.
I know.
No goal?
I know. No goal. Now it's under 10 minutes to go in the third period. It is white-knuckle hockey. And here's Lucic.
Both of these teams dealing with injury concerns. It's just that time of year. Vital cogs out of their respective lineups. More than halfway through what has been a scoreless third period. Matt Chatan, 3-on-3 through center. Lucic's drive off the outside of the post. It knuckled in routes. And it gave Leighton fits.
Oof. It did. That was, he didn't have it. But thanks to the post, we remain 3-3. And then a very important moment in the game happens right here.
Billy Leno meanders through three defenders. Takes it wide, throws one to the front. It's swept out of there by Chatan as we hear a whistle. 8 minutes, 50 seconds to go. 3-3 as the officials huddle up. We'll tell you what the call is in a moment from here in Boston on Versus. Okay, Bill. Boston is shorthanded. We are going to break. They were whistled for too many men on the ice. So the Bruins penalty killers, best in the postseason, have to save the day right now. 8.5 to go regulation. Game 7. Flyers looking for their first lead on the evening.
And why would you go to break there?
I know.
Come on, man.
What's the call?
And I don't know if Twitter was really around, so it's not like you could wait.
Right.
You couldn't, like, refresh Twitter and see, a local reporter say, oh, too many men on the ice for Boston.
I know.
Just sitting there waiting.
Amazing. Now, Flyers going to power play. They were 0-for-2 on the power play in the game. The Bruins, if you remember, had the best PK in the entire league that season. Could they finally break through?
Matt Carl opens up. Gagne waits. Shifting gears for Leno. Mike Richards through the seam, deflected, stop. Gagne! He scores! Opportunistic. Flyers celebrate. Simon Gagne.
If you're a Boston Bruin fan out there right now, you're thinking 1979. Too many men on the ice against the Montreal Canadiens. Don Cherry on the bench. A repeat? Well, we'll see. 7:08 remaining in this one.
7:08. Flyers come from 3-0 down in Game 7, in which they trailed the series 3-0 to take the lead. Let's fast forward to the final 53 seconds of the game. The Bruins call their timeout, and this is how it ended.
Boston with six attackers on, everybody up at the bench.
Savard looking to get the faceoff back to Weidman.
He does. Bergeron. Through the seam, looking for Recchi, almost identical to what they did in Game 4. Chara, Weidman, what timer, just wide of Leighton. He went to the splits, 37 seconds in the third period. Lucic covering up on Timonen. Savard funnels it to the corner for Lucic, 25 seconds to go, regulation time. This one's dribbled back to center. Weidman has to give some ground. Mark Savard is there. 18 seconds to operate. On the dump in, there's Recchi for Lucic. Bergeron to the corner. Badgered by Pronger. On top of point position, Chara winds and fires! Just wide of a screen, Leighton. 4 seconds now, three. Towards the goal, doubled up by Giroux. A comeback of epic proportions comes complete for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Philadelphia, and let me hear you sing the orange and the black, the orange and the black. Of course, the blue that we attack. We
wow, like it happened yesterday. I still got nerves as the seconds ticked away. Still got nervous. Still had the hair stand up on the back of my neck as we listened to that final call. Flyers overcome the 3-0 deficit and the 3-0 deficit in the game. Amazing stuff, Judas.
How about that? All 53 seconds. The Bruins had the possession of the puck.
I know.
Like they never turned it over. They had multiple chances. It was a crazy finish.
I mean, wow, wow, wow. I mean, that was wild. Absolutely wild. We will return, and we will come back, and we will visit with Danny Briere, one of the heroes of that game. And then the coach, Peter Laviolette, will join us straight up at 1 o'clock.
He's 105 now, just so you know. Give us like a couple extra minutes with Danny, and then 105 will be the coach.
That'll be outrageous to relive that. You don't want to miss a second of it. It's Cuz Radio with Chunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:49 across the Delaware Valley on a Friday. And as you know, we've been doing our playback. And today we played back Game 7. Flyers and Bruins. My God, You know, I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I mean, it was amazing. What a game. That was one of the greatest games in the history of Philadelphia sports. The most amazing comeback ever. Down 3-0 in the series. Down 3-0 in the game. In Game 7, that Friday night, fateful Friday night, losing 3-0 in the first period, only to have a big goal by JVR. And they got all the way back in the game-tying goal by our next guest on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, the man who tied the game at 3-3, the great Danny Briere. Danny!
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man? First of all, how you dealing with the virus? How's the family? And what have you been up to?
Yeah, like everybody else, working from home. You know, it's it gets a little lonely, I'm sure, for like everybody else. But trying to get a lot done. You know, it's just being stuck in the house sometimes gets a little long.
Yeah, I know. How are the kids? I mean, are you doing the homeschool thing? What's going on?
Kids are doing online schooling. You know, it seems to be the trend these days. So they're falling in line with that as well, and following the guidelines, trying to get their schooling done. So not easy for anybody. No. But you try to make it work.
My wife's
right?
About to pull her hair out at my little one, man. It's a tough deal, you know. There's a reason why they're great teachers in the world. You know what I'm saying? We're not one of them.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, we're not trying to steal their job either.
So, without sports, we've been playing back these games every day. We do a different Philadelphia sporting event every day, and today was that great game, that incredible comeback. Take us into mindset. First, the series, because, you know, we go into it, you know, the whole thing, get in on the last day with the shootout, and now here it is. It's 3-0 with Game 4 at home. What's the mindset of the group?
Well, the first round was New Jersey.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody gave us a chance against New Jersey because they were the number two seed. Like you mentioned, we made the playoffs on the last regular season day. So for us to get past the first round, all of a sudden we start realizing, oh, maybe there's something here. And then we start the second round against Boston, and we go down 3-0 right off the get-go. But it was the weirdest feeling. When we were down 3-0, I still remember we had a meeting in a dressing room, and we could not understand how we were down 3-0. The way we were playing, we deserved much better. You know, everybody was thinking we should be up 2-1, or at the worst case scenario, it might be 1-2-1 for them. We felt we were still in this series. And I know it sounds weird, and I've been in many positions where we were down 3-0, and you just know that the end is near. You'll try to save face next game, but the chance of coming back are pretty slim. In this case, it was totally, totally different. Boston had just lost David Krejci in game number 3 as well, which was one of their most potent offensive guys. And all of a sudden, we said, if we can just win one, we win game 4, anything can open up after that. And then, you know, fast forward to game 7, we were so excited to be there. And the game starts, and we're down 3-0 again right off the get-go. And I remember, I mean, I was losing my mind on the bench. I couldn't believe all the work we had put into it to come up to this point and be down 3-0 in the first, I don't know, 12 or 13 minutes of the game. I was so mad. I was seeing red on the bench. But everybody, you know, probably remembers Lavi's timeout. And, you know, he kept telling us, just one goal, guys. We just need one goal before the end of the period. And at the time, I didn't realize how big that one goal would be. We came back in the dressing room after the first period, and we're all sitting around kind of, you know, quietly all mad at ourselves for letting that happen. But now that I can take a step back and I realize what it must have been or felt like in their dressing room, because they were up 3-0 in the series. Now it was 3-3. They were up 3-0 in this game, and they could feel us coming. It was 3-1, and the next goal would be critical. You know, but at the time, I didn't realize that I wasn't able to put myself in their skates. But looking back, I think that goal was huge, and they came back in the second period, and it's like they didn't know how to play hockey anymore. They were afraid to make plays. Nobody wanted to puck on
their
side.
They were tight.
Yeah.
Davey, it's amazing. Yeah. You're so right about that. And it's interesting because the number three, you're so right. The number three was so important because, look, if they score up 4-0, it's tough, right? But the fact that you guys were able to get the JVR was able to get that goal to make it 3-1, you're right on, man. They were able. They were tight. Oh, my God. And then it was 3-2 before you score. You must have really felt it.
Oh, yeah. At 3-2, we had everybody. I watched the game was it last week. I was playing on TV as well. And you could tell. Everybody was feeling. We were creating scoring chances after scoring chances. We had the puck the whole period. And at that third goal, we knew it was over at the time. We came back after the second period. And it was a totally different atmosphere in our dressing room. We knew we had them. We were so confident. And, you know, it's a fine line. You don't want to get overconfident.
Yeah.
But in that case, we knew where they were mentally. We knew where we were mentally. And there was no stopping us.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, it was interesting because you had the goal that's wiped out. We think you score. We think we score. It's up 4. And we're going to take a 4-3 lead. And then they go to video, no goal.
Yeah. And it didn't even matter to us. And honestly, until I watched the game last week, I had completely forgotten about that goal. To us, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a matter of time. You want to delay this process? Fine. Let's go ahead. Let's score another one. I think at the time, that's the mindset that everybody had. It didn't matter. I saw the replay and we can't see the puck cross the line, and that's why they had to make that call. But everybody knows the goalie's leg is fully in the net, so there's no doubt that the puck is in the net.
Yes.
I was proud of how the guys reacted. It didn't matter. That wasn't going to be the turning point, for this series. And we were able to get a big goal from Simon Gagné later in the third period.
It was amazing. I think back to, you lose the first two games at home. The first game won in overtime, 5-4. You lose game 2-3-2. It was a tight one. And then, game 4, like you said, just win one. You win it in overtime. You go up there and you bury them 4-0. And then Game 6 was wild at home. Everybody was going, oh, my God, we got a chance in this thing because you guys were the most resilient group. What do you attest that? Was that just something that happened? When you look back on it now, what do you think about that team?
Yeah, the swagger that we had that year, how close we were as a team, you don't get to have that very often. Guys hanging out together as much as we did, and we had that swagger that nobody could beat us. And even in the finals, I know we lost 4-2 to Chicago, but we had that swagger. We were down 2-0 in the series. We come back and tie at 2-2. We come home and we're down 3-2, and we're going to overtime, and there's no doubt in our minds that we're gonna take this to a game 7, and in a game 7 anything can happen. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. They got the overtime goal, but that's how we played. That's how we were. We just had that swagger that nobody was better than us. And it didn't matter how far deep we were. We always felt we could come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.